my friend. It pains me to say this, but you're listening to the podcast that dares not speak its name. And here's your host, Rish Outfield.
Hello, this is Rish. A lot of my imaginary friends will ask me, Rish, why don't you do a video podcast, something like on YouTube? That way, instead of 7 listeners, you might have 700 viewers or 7,000 viewers. YouTube seems to be, for millennials at least, what television was for, I don't know, the first 40 or 50 years of its existence. Just the great equalizer, the thing that everybody knows and everybody goes to, everybody checks out, that's accessible to everybody around you. There are people with less talent than me that have web shows that are just on YouTube that have millions of views. And the answer is, well, I guess it goes hand in hand with why I have many imaginary friends and no real ones. I'm not a very confident person as a person. I'm not fond of myself. I don't like looking at myself. But as Rish Outfield, the podcaster, where it's just my voice, something that I have almost complete control over, I have confidence. I have, well, more confidence, at least. I enjoy podcasting, and I think I do a good job of it. It's a shame that I don't do the YouTube kind of thing. Because, yeah, you get way, way, way more viewers. And if you could do, you know, ad revenue or whatever, maybe I could do this sort of thing for a living. I doubt it, but you never know. The reason I mention that is because I'm going to do something in today's episode that would be great for a video podcast. It would lend itself really well for visuals to show you what I'm doing instead of just me telling you what I'm doing. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting... Let me just jump right into it, and you'll see why it's interesting. Today, somebody on Facebook mentioned that Pseudopod, which is the horror fiction podcast, is that what you'd call it? A preeminent horror podcast, is doing a contest. And I guess they do this from time to time, but I'm never aware of their contests. But somebody mentioned, you know, it's a short fiction contest or flash fiction contest or ass fiction contest. I have no idea. To its listeners, they can just submit a story, a ridiculously short story. And I think the 3 best received of those stories will get run on the show. Anyway, somebody just said, oh, I'm going to go for this. And I looked at it. I clicked on the link. I looked at the rules. There were no parameters. You know what I'm saying? Well, there were parameters. There was no prompt, which is usually something I appreciate. If somebody says, you know, write a story about a cursed elevator or a, I don't know, like an evil tampon dispenser, I can go, okay, what could I do with that? And I can think about it and I can turn it over and over in my mind and try and find an angle that I like. But if somebody says, yeah, just whatever you want to do, it's too much. It's too big. Yeah, there's just too many options, and that's difficult for me. But they did have the parameter of the stories could be no larger than 500 words. And if you know me, 500 words is nothing. Is it even a story? But today at work, I was thinking about it, thinking about 500 words. 500 words can't take any time at all to write. Maybe there's going to be a ton of submissions to this contest. Maybe there won't. But I ought to at least give it a try. And so on my break at work, I opened up my laptop and I wrote the following. So think about stuff that scares me. I often think about going outside to take out the trash and seeing someone standing there in the backyard, standing still, watching the house. I also have an even more visual idea of where a car drives past the front of the house, casting a shadow along the side of the house, revealing the shadow of a person lurking there. And yeah, that happened one time. I was in the backyard and a car went through the front yard. And as the car's headlights moved, the shadow of the house moved, and then it revealed, well, it was the trash can, the shadow of the trash can along the side of the house, something I couldn't see, but I could see its shadow, and I thought, what if that was the shadow of a person? I really liked that idea, but I don't know that it works as a story. It's like I always say, you know, that I have story ideas and then I have screenplay ideas. That's a visual idea. I like that as a scene from a movie. Anyhow, I thought about that for a minute, and I didn't have long on my break at work. So it probably took me, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes to write that. So I came up with an idea of somebody goes out to take the trash out, and they get killed, and their body is stuffed into a trash barrel. And it wasn't good, but I thought, okay, well, how could I make it good? And I was like, okay, well, so it's a teenage boy, and he's about to go on a trip with his friends, and his mom says, did you take the trash out? And he's like, and she's like, you are not to go out with your friends for your weekend of debauchery until you take the trash out. And so he goes, until you take the trash to the corner, right? So he goes and he's murdered and put in the trash can, and the trash barrel is left there for the truck to pick up the next morning. And the parents, just the mother at least, just assumes that the kid went with, you know, on his little weekend trip with his friends. And I thought, okay, I like that a little more than just someone gets killed. But yeah, I didn't like it. It didn't go anywhere. And it's going to sound real cynical, and I'm sorry if you guys love flash fiction. But, it's enough for a 500-word story, but it's not good. You have to have real talent, by the way, to make a satisfying 500-word story. Real talent. Something that I do not have. And so I thought, okay, there was a screenplay I was going to write a few years back called Happy Valley. And it was about this little town out in the middle of nowhere that was basically, you know, they were all cultists that lived there. But the thing that I wanted was for them all to be really nice people. I mean, they might be evil, or under, you know, some kind of spell, or religious nuts, or whatever it might be. But I wanted them to be nice, even when they were killing. And I never really developed that beyond just the premise, and I knew how the beginning was going to be. And, you know, I did develop it. I turned it into a short treatment, and it seems like there was someone I mentioned it to who was interested in making low-budget films. I pitched that to him, and he's like, And he was not thrilled with the idea. But, you know, that's fine. Gosh, I wish I had stayed in touch with that guy and continued to do work for him. Because unlike a lot of people I've worked with in the film business, in the industry or whatever, he actually paid me for my work. Okay, but yeah, so the Happy Valley thing, I thought, well, I could just do the one scene. There was a scene that I really liked from my treatment, and I was like, I could do that as a scene, as a story in itself. But I didn't. Then I thought of a pet store. In fact, this is what I've written. A pet store. A guy goes in to buy a rat to feed his snake. But the rat is acting really strangely, almost like it's trying to communicate with him. I thought a little bit about that, and I thought, yeah, and then this could happen. And then this could happen. In fact, it could start like this. And before my break was over, I had a beginning, a middle, and an end. A very short story, mind you. And I thought, gosh, if I only had a half hour lunch or something where I could just write this, I think I could pound out the whole dang thing. 500 words, you know? Just at one sitting. And then I would have my entrant for the contest. Entry. But it was time for me to go back to work. My break was over. And so I closed up the laptop and went on my way. I was at work, like I said. I was doing my job, but I kept thinking about it. And I kept asking myself, do I write it? You know, because I can rush home and sit down and hammer this thing out. In no time at all, really. Because I see how it starts. I had already written up a summary, I guess, synopsis, that includes dialogue. And I came up with names for the characters. For some reason, crazy effed up reason, I wanted to call the main character Lorkin. That's a real name, Lorkin. And it's not a girl's name, it's a man's name. It's a man's name, baby. But it's awful, isn't it? But did I mention the story can only be 500 words long? See, that's a big part of it. How long does it take to write a story that's 500 words long? Well, we're going to find out. Don't get me wrong. That's part of what's happening on this episode today. But finally, I got my phone out and I texted Big. And I said to him, I spent my break coming up with an idea for a story. I said, should I write the story and enter it anyway, even though the idea sucks, because I came up with it for the contest. And I said, I want to pose the question on Facebook. See what the fans say. But the first person that says, why don't you just write a story that doesn't suck? I'm going to have to call a jackass. Because, yeah, I had that in the back of my mind. I know that there's always a wiseacre out there. Okay, for example, Big and I do this show called That Gets My Goat. And I thought it would be fun to do an episode where we just answer people's questions about the show. So on Facebook, I said, hey, if you got any questions that you'd like Big or me to answer, post them here and we'll answer them in this Q&A thing. And the responses were just... Not all of them, but the ones that jumped out at me were just insulting. You know, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? That sort of thing. Everybody's a comedian, and that's not going to be entertaining to answer that kind of crap. Wait, which maybe I should have taken it in a better light and just said, oh, all these people wanted to be on the show with their funny question. But what I wanted, I really wanted people to ask, you know, something I've always wanted to know about the show. Or what is, you know, what episode are you most proud of? Or what episode, what story was the hardest to produce? Or, you know, stuff like that where we could talk. You know, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? I guess that's clever, but it doesn't give us something to go on in that episode. I just wanted to interact with our fans and do a... Well, maybe you were here when Tom Tancredi asked me all these questions, all these personal questions. Maybe that was a super self-indulgent episode and you can go f*** yourself. Or maybe it was riveting because it's like, wow, here are things that he would never otherwise have talked about. And he's answering the questions instead of just skirting around them. That's what I intended with that episode. And I'm happy with it. In fact, you know, I was inspired by that to send questions to both Marshall Latham on his show and Big on his show so that they could answer the questions on their show and maybe get as much out of it as I got out of those questions that Tom sent me. Anyhow, holy cow, that was a, what do you call that thing where you go off in a tangent? Maybe it's a tangent, that's the word I'm looking at. Big said, I don't know. Seems like a lot of work for an idea you don't like. I said, well, what if I told you their length limit was only 500 words? And he wrote, you're crazy to bother. You'll write 1,000 or 1,500, then spent twice that long editing it down, and you'll despise the finished product. He knows me well, doesn't he? I only had 3 or 4 more hours at work, and then I came home. But I thought, you know, I am going to pose this question on Facebook. And so a moment ago, I paused the recording. I got on Facebook and I wrote the following. So there's a short story contest I'm wanting to enter. And today I thought of a story I could write up and submit to them. The problem is, I'm pretty sure the story's gonna suck. And if it sucks, well, it won't win the contest, will it? But I can't decide whether it's worth it just to sit down briefly and write this bad boy out, so at least I submit something. Or if I should just let it go. Does one more story by me make the world a richer place, even if it sucks? Or should I just stick this in the mental recycle bin, since I only came up with it for this particular contest and nothing else? I thought, okay, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to go home and I'm going to post this question on Facebook. And gosh, what I should have done was I should have snuck off to the bathroom or the back room or something like that and posted that on Facebook at work so that when I got home from work, maybe there would be responses to it on here. And then I could incorporate them into the show. Because, yeah, what I thought about was I'm going to make this an episode of the podcast that dares not speak its name. I'm going to talk about the process. Then I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write the story, tell you how long it took. Then I'm going to record the story and present it right here on the show as part of this episode. All right, so now through the magic of time travel, we're going to look at the responses that appeared here on Facebook. Okay, the first one says, write it up. Submit it anyways. Ching. Second, write it. It may suck, but then there's always that possibility that while writing, something amazing will happen to either A, make it suck less, or B, make it pretty good. Just write and submit. Ching. Third, do it. I bet it'll be a cool story. Ching. Next, I believe it was Big Anklevich who said, you miss every shot you don't take. At worst, it'll be material for the Dunstief Audio Fiction magazine. Nice. Ching. Next comment, fight, fight, fight. Write, write, write. Mixed up in my chants. Next, yar, matey, ye best be spinning me a yarn. Well, that's actually pretty cool. Next, man, if I didn't write every story I thought might suck, I wouldn't be a writer. Well, next, write it, then decide. That way you've written another story regardless. And the last comment, write it. Inspiration can strike right in the middle. It will go off somewhere you don't expect, and you will have yet another awesome story on your hands. So, I'm going to admit it. I was wrong. There was no jackassery at all in any of those comments. In fact, every single one said write it. So, I will. I will see you in a moment. Okay, so I sat down and I figured I'd just type it out. Type out my idea. 617 words. It's so short. It's one page.
One page.
And it's 617 words, which means I'm what? It looks like I'm 23% too long, which is but it's also The thing is, Big was right, right? Saying, you're going to write a long story and then you're going to spend twice as long making it smaller. Okay, so I surprised myself. It actually took me 26 minutes to write that, which is weird. I thought I could have done it in 15. But, big deal. 26 minutes to... How do you spell maneuvered? I don't know. Ooh, it's an ugly word. That's got to be a French word, right? Okay, but I got 617 words, and I'm going to knock that down to 500. So I'm going to do that now, and then I'll share it with you. Okay, I got it down to 500 words. You should be glad I turned off the microphone. Can you imagine just sitting here while I counted it down, trying to get it down? So according to this, it took 21 minutes to get it down to 500 words. Big was right, wasn't he? Let me share the story with you. Then we can kill ourselves. As Lorcan maneuvered his skateboard around a parked car, a truck honked its horn at him, like he was riding in the middle of the road. He tried riding his board on the sidewalk, but the pavement was uneven and there were enough cracks to ensure he'd crash before reaching the end of the block. So he flipped his board into his hand and began to walk down the sidewalk like a regular moron. He passed an Indian restaurant, a used bookstore, then a little pet store. He paused. The damn snake. He'd gotten a ball python for his last birthday, and he hadn't fed it in a month. Well, he'd tried giving it a smashed cockroach last week, but it would only eat living things, like rats or mice. He kept forgetting to pick something up. An ancient sign read Quiddler's Menagerie, but Lorcan had never noticed this place before. He went inside It smelled awful, and Lorcan considered turning right around. But he didn't. They had a few fish, some of them floating, a couple of ill-looking parakeets, and a solitary rat in a tank. As Lorcan approached, it stood on its hind legs, scratching at the glass, trying to get his attention. It was such a human gesture that Lorcan smiled. He looked closer at the rat. His smile faded. There was something wrong with it. It was too thin, its squat head bobbling like it was having a seizure. Either that or nodding, "Yes, see me, notice me." It didn't even look all rat, but like it was crossed with something else. Suddenly, there was an old man beside him. He was rather hunched, with a braided Chinese mustache and beard, only orange instead of white.
"I am Mr. Quiddler. What do you think?"
"About?"
"The rat, of course."
"It's looking at me funny. Like it's saying, let me out of here or something."
"No. What do you think about buying it?"
Lorcan considered. Yes, the rat was ugly, and maybe it was sick, but it only had to survive for an hour or so. "Sure, yeah. My snake's got to eat, right?"
"Maybe, maybe not," Quiddler said.
And he wiggled a misshapen finger at Lorcan, chanting in a foreign tongue. And Lorcan began to get smaller, shrinking until he was waist-high to the man, then knee-high. His clothes became blanket-sized around him, then tent-sized. Then the old man's hand was grasping him, lifting him up into the air. He dropped into the cage. Lorcan tried to call for help, but all that emerged were squeaks. He looked at his hands, but they were now stubby little claws. He was covered with fur, a long, segmented tail twitching behind him. The other rat shook its head in disappointment or disgust. Quiddler tapped the glass.
"Don't you worry about spending the rest of your life in there. Someone will buy you."
The old man grinned.
"There are a lot of hungry snakes in town."
Okay, so there's the story. Okay, so, you know, it took more than a half hour, 40-something minutes, right, to write the whole thing, to get it down to the right length. You know, probably another 15 minutes to record it for you. But now we're done. Now we're on the other side. And does it suck? The thing is, I'm looking at my original notes. I came up with three ideas. The garbage dump thing, the Happy Valley scene, and then a pet store. Guy goes in to buy a rat to feed his snake, but the rat is acting really strangely, almost like it's trying to communicate with him. That's the start of that. And then after I'd written the punchline, which is there's a lot of hungry snakes in the world, I wrote, that one I like more. Not love, but like well enough for a 500-word story. You just heard the story. 500 words is so, so small. I just had to have economy in the dialogue. I had to have economy in what I described. You know, the character of Lorcan has no personality at all. It's just, there was not room. Not in a 500-word story. So because of that, I can see you, or, you know, definitely Big, saying that it was a waste of time. That it was lame. That I would have been much better served working on my novel or editing something or, you know, playing Scrabble. And he might be right, but now that it's done, now that it's recorded, I have the story. I can submit it to the contest. It's 500 words. I have to come up with a title. So let's come up with a title together. Littlest Pet Shop. No. Quiddler's Menagerie. The Menagerie. The Cage. Rat Trap. Rat Crazy as a rat in a tin shit house. Rat race. Rat. Splat the rat. Radigan. Radagas. Madagascar. Madagascar. The penguins of Madagascar. Snake bait. Snake food. Feeding the snake. Feeding the... Rattling the monster. The one-eyed trouser snake. Rats. Rats? Do rats run on treadmills, or is that hamsters that run on treadmills? Running on a treadmill. Tread well. Tread lightly. Don't tread on me. Don't mess with Texas. Remember the Alamo. Sidetrack. Okay, that one's not bad. Rat trap. Rat Trap probably is the best because it mentions rat in the title. And Quiddler's Menagerie is not a bad title either, except for it just gives too much away, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, okay, a menagerie is a zoo. It's a place for displaying animals. Yeah, I gotta confess another thing is while I was working today, I thought, what would be a cool name for the old man? Yeah, I thought of, like, some terrible last name, like Crudler. And yeah, I came up with Quiddler, which is like Quibbler, but it's not a real word, right? Quiddler is not a word. Oh, it's just awful. Can you imagine having that as your last name? Quiddler. I mean, you think Lorcan is bad for a first name. Lorcan is actually kind of cool if you're a girl or if you're Irish or something. But Quiddler, oh, gosh, it's just, ugh. Yeah, it's terrible. Hey, that ain't funny, man. My aunt's first name is Quiddler. My aunt's got three cats, and they're all named Quiddler. Quiddler's Menagerie? Is that what we're going to call it? The Menagerie. The Menagerie is the name of a two-part Star Trek episode. The Glass Menagerie. Is it a Tennyson play? Why am I focusing on this? Okay, look, I'm just going to call it Quiddler's Menagerie, although I don't love that title. But here's the thing, I didn't love the story, right? I thought the story was okay, it was adequate. That's a good word, it's adequate. I don't think it's going to win the contest. But if it does, well then, gosh, we've got a cool ending to this episode, don't we? We got a Shyamalan, M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan. We've got a Shyamalan level ending on our hands here. If that's the case. But if I lose the contest, we got an episode from it, didn't we? I made money from this show. You know what? I haven't asked Sir Fake Sean Connery what he thinks of the story. Sir Sean, what do you want now? Well, I was wondering if you listened to any of what I was just recording, any of what I was just talking about.
Why would I do that? I'm in my bloody 80s. Do you think I want to spend my golden years listening to your tripe?
Yes. What did you think of the story?
The story of how I defiled your ex-girlfriend? Or the terrible story you just shared?
The terrible story I just shared.
It was all right.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay, that's high praise coming from him.
Speaking of high praise, oh, you should have heard your ex-girlfriend last night.
Haha, joke's on you. My ex-girlfriend is dead.
Ah. That explains why she didn't move around much.
Okay, hey, that's not cool, dude. Well, actually, that was pretty cool. But okay, thank you for sharing your opinion with me on my story. We'll let people go their way. But thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast that dasn't speak its name. When was the last time somebody said dasn't? It's a dead word, right? Like menagerie. Anyhow, maybe one day I will be back. Maybe not. But thanks for riding on this particular voyage with me. Goodbye.
The dread podcast that dares not speak its name is produced under a Oh, wait a moment.
What?
We're not done here.
What is it?
Are you playing some kind of little game with me?
What, like strip poker or strip Uno or strip apples to apples?
Yes, yes, you're hilarious. I'm talking about the bloody contest you entered. The one you did this whole episode about.
Yeah, I remember.
Well?
Well, what? This is the most I've gotten out of you in a long time, Sir Fake Sean Connery.
Isn't it, though? Are you telling me you are going to let everybody listening go without giving away the ending?
Well, first off, everybody listening is about three people, two of which are in this room, only one of which is actually a person.
All right, I'll give you that.
And secondly, the ending was supposed to be pretty obvious. He gets turned into a rat, and eventually somebody's going to use him to feed their own pet. Kind of mean-spirited, I know, but while I absolutely endorse meanness to cats, I can't stand meanness to other, actual animals, ones that aren't minions of the Dark Lord of the Underworld.
Not that ending, you mincing milkweed. The ending to all of this.
All of this? I eventually end up dead and alone, fat and even smellier than I am now.
I think that was my line, but no. I want to know about the contest. Did you win it?
Oh, that ending. Sorry. No.
No, you didn't win, or no, you won't tell me.
Right.
You little piece of sh...
Right, as in the first one. I didn't win. The story didn't get picked up. The story didn't win. Didn't even place. Big surprise.
Ah. Well, that's too bad. But not unexpected.
No, not unexpected.
I mean, it would be out of character if you did win.
Right. I think the contest was rigged.
Or it was on the bloody Doonstief or something.
Hey, I won those contests fair and square.
Sure you did. Whatever allows you to sleep at night.
Thank you.
In your filthy, stained, empty bed.
I said thank you.
So you lost. But at least you'll never know why.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean the judges are all faceless, nameless, lost souls. Probably they didn't even read the story.
Oh no, the voting was right there in public, on the forums. And there are usernames beside the votes. And they gave the story comments, reasoning for their presumably low scores.
Presumably?
Well, it means when you're not sure of the reasoning, but you make an educated guess at it.
I know what presumably means, you itchy rectum.
Gross.
What I meant was, you don't know what scores you got?
No.
But you said that was public.
I did. I just...
Just what?
Just never read any of the reviews of my story.
What? Are they not available for just anybody to peruse?
Oh, they're there. I just never dared look.
Why not?
Do you not know me? I have no self-confidence. I've got no backbone. I have absolutely no tolerance for criticism or negative views of my work.
And you're an ugly little bastard, too.
Right.
Both skinny and fat. And your man unit is so small that the last time anybody saw it, they mistook it for a Vienna sausage.
Okay! I get your point. Jeez.
Look, Richie.
It's Rish.
Rish. You really ought to get over there and read what people had to say about your story. Probably a lot of folks liked it.
Doubtful.
Now, come on. You wrote it, and you thought it was good enough to share with your five listeners on here.
Three listeners.
Right, three listeners. So you must not think it's that bad.
No, the Christmas story I presented on the Doonstief last year, that was bad.
Oh, yes. It was pathetic. Like your tallywhacker.
Uh-huh.
But no, Tom, you...
Rish.
Right, Rish. You need to go on those forums, read through what people said about your story. Chances are it's mostly positive. And what little complaint there may be, well, that you can use to improve the story.
It was only allowed to be 2,000 words, okay?
And I'm sure those grapes were sour ones, David.
Rish. It's Rish.
My point is, be a man. Read the reviews.
How bad could they be?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Of course you do. Tell you what, I'll go over to the forums, and we'll read them together. You're always telling me we should spend more time together.
Well, that's because you smell nice.
Now I'm uncomfortable. Okay, let's see what people said about your story. Quiddler's Menagerie. Ye gods, is that really what you called it?
I did have many other choices.
Well, how about heavy petting?
Yuck.
Ratapooey?
Lame.
Pushy Galore's Menagerie?
Okay, that's not too bad.
Anyway, here's the first comment. This story was runny orange diarrhea.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was just one person's opinion. Here's the next review. 200 words? More like 200 turds. Am I right?
Are you making this up?
Not really.
What does it really say?
Well, this one says, this story reminded me of when I was taking a dump, and I used the entire roll of toilet paper, and I still wasn't clean. And it was that double-layered expensive paper, not the no-name brand or anything.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it is at that. Almost poetry there.
All right. What did the next one say?
You probably needn't read that one. He wants you to kill yourself. Or she wants you to.
See, I told you this was a waste of time.
You never said that. All right. Next comment. Quiddler's Menagerie. 0 stars. I've read better stories written in yellow snow. Oh, that's rich.
Yeah, very funny. You know, I'm sensing a pattern here.
Indeed. But never fear. There are several more.
Wonderful.
Nope, doesn't say that. It actually reads, Dear Sir or Madam, you are less talented than Miley Cyrus singing unaccompanied and un-auto-tuned. With a homeless guy's unit in her mouth.
Wow.
They can't all be so condemning. Your story was weak, but not that weak.
Oh, well, that one's pretty tame. Thank you.
Oh, that was me talking. The actual review says, Burn in hell, you Stephanie Meyer wannabe. Well, that makes no sense at all. They spelled Stephanie with an E instead of an A.
I'll explain it to you another time. Are you happy now?
No. Oh, look at this one. Writer, your story was all right.
Oh. Okay.
It goes on. Still, I think my day and the world would be a lot brighter if your father had worn a prophylactic. Ha!
Okay, we're done here.
No, there's 12 more. Look, this one uses the word mongoloid in it.
Sir Sean, just read the license, please.
Oh, come on, Shelley. Where's your sense of humor?
I am serious. And don't call me Shelley.
The podcast that dares not speak its name is produced beneath a Creative Commons No Derivatives Attribution 3.0 license. You really ought to share the show with the people you most despise, but you may not take credit for it. You may not make changes to it, and you may not sell it. Please, don't sully yourself with Rish Outfield stink.
Well, at least you got my name right.
Who said that?
Am I still recording? I can't remember. I believe I'm farting. Is that the same thing? I wish there was a word for pets other than pets.
God, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. That guy can burn in hell.
I'm hungry. You ever hungry?
No, I suppose you wouldn't be. You're not a human being. Am I still recording? I am. Okay, so let me push pause. See how this works. It's not pausing. Okay, I guess it doesn't pause. You just have to stop it.